Verse number one, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. God divided the light from darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here today. Lord, we pray that you would give us the words of wisdom to say to help the people the most. And Lord, help us not to say anything that would hurt. But Lord, we're asking you to do that for us today. Meet with us in a very special way. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Here in the book of Genesis, I'm going to reuse the overhead just for get your mind to where we need to go. And the book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. Everything started in the book of Genesis, except for God. God has never had a birthday. Nothing has ever occurred or dawned on God. He's never had an idea. He's never had a light bulb moment. God's always been. You say, where'd He come from? He's just always been there. You say, well, He had to have a start. No, He'll never have a start, and He'll never have an end. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth His handiwork. I like the way one black preacher described it. He said, God stepped from behind the curtain of nowhere, on the platform of nothing, and spoke a world into existence. The reason God came from nowhere is because there wasn't anywhere for Him to come from. And coming from nowhere, He stood on nothing. And the reason He stood on nothing, because there was nowhere for Him to stand. And standing on nothing, He reached out to where there was nowhere and caught something when there was nothing to catch, and hung something on nothing and told it to stay there. Then standing on nothing, He took the hammer of His own will and He struck the anvil of His omnipresence, and sparks flew everywhere. He caught these sparks from the tip of His fingers and flung them into space, decked the heavens with stars, and nobody said a word. And the reason nobody said a word, because there wasn't anybody around to say anything. And so God says, it was good. 6 days God created. On the seventh day, He rested. God's perfect number is the number of seven. He uses sevens all through the Bible. One day we'll enter into that perfect rest of day number seven. Day number one, last Sunday morning, we talked about salvation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And this is the way you were before you got saved. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's the way you were. If you're in this room right now and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's the way you are on the inside. The lights are not on. You're here just about out of obligation, and you don't know the Lord, and you're dark on the inside. The spiritual light has never touched your soul. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Then the Spirit of God began to move. There was a day in your life when the Spirit of God began to move upon the face of the waters. And God started convicting your heart, and He brought salvation. And God said, let there be light. And as a 10-year-old boy, I said, let there be light. And God said, come on in and turn the lights on. And it's never been the same since. I moved from darkness into light. I was translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Never, ever, ever to get lost ever again. And the reason I can't get lost is because I didn't do anything to get saved. Because I asked Him, He done all the work on the cross. And so for you to lose your salvation, you'd have to do something to get saved. And so if you didn't do anything to get saved, and He done it all, then you can't lose your salvation. Because He done it all. And that's why He said on the cross, it is finished. Salvation is the very first thing. If you miss day one, just like in baseball, if you miss first base, you can go around the bases all you want, but if you miss first base, you will never get home. Day number one is the most important thing, and that has to do with salvation. Now, here's what I want to show you in the Bible, and this is sort of an odd Sunday morning message. Anyway, this is the best I got. And so day number one, God separates light from darkness. Well, it matches up with the seven Jewish feasts. There's Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, Day of Atonement, and tabernacles. It matches up with the first day. First day, it matches up with Passover. What's Passover? When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. A lamb gave his life and put the blood on the doorpost. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Day one matches up with the first feast of the Jewish Passover. And then, if you move on, there are seven steps in the Jewish tabernacle. There's the brazen altar. That's sort of like a 5x5 barbecue pit. Five being the number of death. They'd bring an animal. There's only one door in this thing. Only one door in this thing. You say, well, I'm going to try to get to heaven back here. You can't get to heaven over here. Everybody goes through the same door. So, well, I'm going through Muhammad. Well, you'll go to hell with Muhammad. You say, well, I'm going to go another way. Well, hey, listen, you can go any way you want to, but if you want to go to heaven, there ain't but one door. And Jesus Christ in John 10 says, I am the door. And if any man comes, that's the only way to go in. And when you get in there, the first thing you're going to have to deal with is salvation. Something's going to have to die right here. And there's a sacrifice. There's fire. There's a 5x5 barbecue pit. There's an animal sacrifice. Well, I mean, it matches up with the sacrifice on the first day of Passover. It matches up with the first day of creation. God said, let there be light. There was light. It has to do with salvation. This is all in the Bible. You won't find this on Discovery Channel. And then there is, in Hebrews chapter number 11, there's seven men of faith that deal with, I know there's more men of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Got it. These are the seven that cover the book of Genesis. You start with Abel and you go all the way to Joseph. Genesis chapter number 50. Those seven men. Well, Abel, what did he do? He brought an animal sacrifice. Just like the first step of the tabernacle and just like the first feast of Passover and just like day number one. Has to do with salvation. So, if all of that is true, then let's go back and let's look at day number two. And on day number two, look at what happens. Listen, let me say this before I move to day number two. Most churches, y'all ready? Buckle your seatbelt right here. Most churches are filled with day one Christians. They've been saved 42 and a half plus years, and they hadn't moved from day one. They still lingering around. Us four, no more. I'm saved, going to heaven. You ain't done nothing since. Is everybody still with me? Hallelujah. Does everybody still love me? Well, I'll ask you again when this message is over. Most churches are filled with day one Christians, and they just glad to get a little fire insurance. They're not going to hell anymore, and that's really all I wanted. I didn't know, Lord, you wanted to move me through 5-6 more days of this. I thought all you wanted to do was save me. Well, if that was true, he'd have killed you when he saved you. But you're still breathing and you're saved, so God wants you to move to day two. And on day number two, guess what happens? On day number two, God says, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the water from the water. First of all, you got to find out what the water is. Well, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the word, or by the washing of water, by the word. You know what the water is? It's the word of God. So after you get saved, you need to get familiar with this. And you're going to have to know how to divide water from water. You say, preacher, why is there so many denominations? Why is there so many of this? Some people say you got to do this to get to heaven. Some people got to do this. Plain. They're in day one, never move to day two to learn how to divide water from water. Well, anyway, maybe I should have picked a different message. But you ought to know how to divide. I think, let me see. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, if there's a right way to divide it, there's a wrong way to divide it. Do you know in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it tells you to go to church on Saturday? Well, y'all missed it. Y'all here on Sunday. Well, did you know the Bible says you ought to go on Saturday? And when you come on Saturday, you're supposed to bring a lamb sacrifice when you come. Where's y'all's? Y'all didn't bring none? We're not following the Bible. Number one, we're on the wrong day. Number two, we didn't bring a sacrifice with us when we come. How many of y'all ate pork this week? Everybody ought to have your hand up. If you didn't eat pork this week, something wrong with you anyway. This is the South. I was in Dallas, Texas on Friday. I went into a restaurant. I ordered a glass of sweet tea. This is Northern Texas. They looked at me and said, we don't have sweet tea. I slapped that woman. In Jesus' name. I said, every place ought to have sweet tea. Hallelujah. Anyway, no, that didn't happen. Well, that did happen. I just didn't slap her, but I should have. Not having sweet tea. How you ought to turn them into the health department? I'm talking about they ought to have Sonic sweet tea at every restaurant. I mean, a cup of diabetes. Somebody help me. And listen, on day number one, God saves you. He brings you from darkness unto light. But on day number two, you need to know how to rightly divide the Bible. Now, everybody in here ought to know we're here on Saturday or Sunday. We didn't bring a sacrifice when we come. Why? Because in the New Testament, things change. On the New Testament, Jesus Christ rose from the dead on what? Easter Sunday morning. 1 Corinthians 16, bring the tithes and offer. First day of the week. The disciples met in the upper room in the evening on the first day of the week. Some of y'all need to remember that verse. Write that verse down. They met in the evening on the first day of the week. Hallelujah. Y'all are getting it, ain't you? I need a little help back here if y'all can help me. Y'all stay awake. Y'all are on camera. I checked one of them videos the other day, and I looked back there, and there's two of them back there going. I said, this is great. All over the, country, and here we go. We got two of them sound asleep. All three of them were asleep, just two of them was in the camera. Eric, you got a good seat. On this side of the cross, Jesus Christ dies on the cross and resurrects on Sunday morning. That's why we come on Sunday. Why do we bring a sacrifice? We don't bring a sacrifice. He was our sacrifice. So, but if you read it in the Old Testament, you'd get confused if you don't know how to rightly divide water from water. Does that make sense? You know, there's verses in the Bible, some people say, Acts 2:38, repent, be baptized, all that. Okay, you better learn how to rightly divide that. Are you going to be needing the air conditioner where you're going? You better know 1 Corinthians 1:17 where Paul says Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Which means baptism is not a part of the gospel. And you ought to, Matthew 24:13 says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Enduring to the end. Work your way to heaven. Well, you better know how to rightly divide that. Because Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Ephesians 2:89 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Somebody ought to move today too and know how to rightly divide water from water. Or you are going to be confused every time somebody invites you to church. And I got news for you. Get mad if you want to. All churches ain't preaching the same thing. Some are as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. And don't know which way to go. You say, preacher, are you go talking about? I'm telling you, we ought to be about that Bible, and that Bible's one book. Everybody ought to be preaching the same thing. Hallelujah. Well, that made some folks mad, but anyway, hallelujah anyway. Get glad in the same seat you just got mad in. That's all I can tell you. Because you ought to know how to rightly divide water from water. And then on day number two, look what happens. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the water, and let it divide the water from the water. And he made the firmament, divide the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Well, now, if that's true, and it is, if that's true, then it ought to match up with the second feast. And the second feast is unleavened bread. Well, do you know what they did on the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Passover's on the 14th. Nisan 14, and so that's corresponds with our April, and so it's 14th is Passover. Then for the next 7 days, the 15th to the 21st, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And this is what they did. For the next 7 days, they searched their house. They swept their house, got it clean, and they looked for all of the leaven. The leaven is a picture and a type of sin. And so they started cleaning up their house. You know why a lot of people don't want to move to day number two? They don't want to clean up nothing. Oh, I just want to go to heaven like I am. Somebody ought to clean up. You take a bath every day, don't you? We hope. I call some folks Lazarus. Bible says he's been dead 4 days and he stinketh. I've met a bunch of Lazaruses. And you take a bath every day, or ought to, you ought to take a shower every day. Hey, what about spiritually, you ought to clean up every day? Right. Yeah. Is that not right? You ought to start your day with a shower. Yeah. Or for those of you up north, a shower. Down here, a shower. Man, y'all not with me today. I remember as a kid, growing up, I couldn't wait to start the kindergarten. How many remember, couldn't you wait to start the kindergarten? Get to school, you ought to start the kindergarten. And then you couldn't wait till you got 16 so you could drive. And then you couldn't wait till you got a car, and then you couldn't wait till you started driving, and then you couldn't wait till you get to high school, then you couldn't wait to get 18, because when you got 18, nobody was ever going to tell you what to do anymore. And when you got 18, I mean, you were a grown man then. Hey, my daddy told me when I got 18, look, you still live in my house? If you can't hack it, get your jacket. Hey, man. You can't hack it, get your jacket. And you, look, and then you couldn't wait to get 18. And then you couldn't wait to retire. And then you can't wait to do all of these kind of things and move forward in your life. Why is it not people don't look forward to moving forward in their Christian life? Man, I can't wait to read it. I want to read my whole Bible through. I can't wait. I can't wait to get to this. I can't wait to know that. I can't wait to find this. You don't hear that very often, do you? Oh, I can't wait to get spiritual 16. I can't wait to where I start spiritually driving. Oh, I can't wait to. Well, that wasn't a good Sunday morning message. But hey, that's first day, first feast. Unleavened bread, our second day. And that's the second day. Dividing water from water. What are you doing in your house? Man, they would, in the Jewish realm, they would take their kids, they would give them a candle, and they had a game out of it. And they would make them go through all the house and get their house cleaned up. I remember telling them boys, my boys, when they were living at home, and Kayla, Lord, I don't even go in her room anymore. You got to have a hazmat suit before you go in there. And them boys were as bad. I mean, you go in there and say, boys, you need to clean up your room. I mean, you got duck blinds and camouflage clothes, and you got a dead duck laying there. And I'm like, come on, boys. I said, by the time I get home, I want this room clean. I get home, open that door, and it's spotless. Y'all know where I went to go look? Under the what? Under the bed. I went looking under the bed, duck blind, camouflage, and a dead duck. Everything under the bed. And you know what? That's what we do in our Christian life. But I can tell, let me just give you a little secret. God can see under the bed. Your mama may not can, your daddy may not can, but God can see under the bed. Sometimes we just need to follow that and clean it up. You say, preacher, what do I do with the Word? You do the same thing with the Word. You do the same thing with the Word as Jesus did with the Word. He prayed over it and He fed 5,000 people. He said, I'm the bread of life. And He took the Word and He broke it off and He passed it out and fed 5,000 people with it. What do you do with the Word? You share it with people. Listen, you know, and we do all this and we send people texts and we say, hey, here's a good verse or here's some encouragement. You're breaking the bread off and passing it to somebody and say, hey, get a little of this. You need this to get you through the rest of the week. You got to have that. And you got to move to that day number two. What do you do with the Word? You give it out. It's our responsibility. Well, if that's true, and it is, then it ought to match the second step. And the tabernacle. There's the first one. That deals with salvation. Well, here's the second one. And this second one is the brazen laver. There's seven pieces actually in here. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and there's 6, 7 right back there. And all of these are in a layout of a cross. You can't tell it real right here, but anyway, it is. And there's the first one that deals with salvation. This second one is a man sitting there washing his hands, and it looks like this. It's a brazen oven. Big old bowl of water. Big old bowl of water. Day number one, divided water from... Ain't that odd? That's in your Bible. Say, why do you take your glasses off? Because some of y'all just got a frown on your face. This guy right here looks down in that water, and what is it? When you look down in water, you can see what? Your reflection, and it'll tell you who you really are. I wish everybody would look in the mirror before they go to Walmart. I wish everybody would look in the mirror. And maybe they do, but that mirror needs to be cleaned. Because, look, I know they're called hip hugger jeans, but there's more hip than them jeans can hug. You understand? And listen, everybody don't need to wear skinny jeans. Just because they're skinny don't mean you get in them, they're going to make you skinny. You may bust them out. Hallelujah. And let me pause and say this right here. Boys, you should never try on a pair of skinny jeans. Never. Let it be far from you to ever try that. Anyway, I got off track. We're looking down in here, and what is the water? What is the water? So every morning you look down there and say, man, boy, I got dirt on my face. Well, I'm just going to go work that way anyway. You look down in the Word and go, man, I need to comb my hair. Ah, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go on out. Now you said, preacher, why is it so quiet in here? Because we're plowing right where we need to. We're getting real close to the row, the corn row. You understand? Because most people don't look in the mirror before they leave the house. And you ought to look in the mirror before you leave the house. Get the dirt off your face, comb your head, and look like a Christian before you leave the house. Most people don't want to move to day two because it takes responsibility to do that. Day one, God does all the work. You ain't got to do nothing on day one. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Hallelujah. Yeah. He does everything for you. But on day two, you're going to have to do something. And most people, including me, we don't like to do nothing. Lazy. We're lazy folks, ain't we? Say amen. You know it's true. Bible says in James chapter number 1, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You say, preacher, I don't understand that old Elizabethan English. It's real simple. You look in the mirror and you say, oh, I don't look so great. And you don't do anything about it. And you go on about your business. Hey, when you walk out in that world, listen, people are watching you and they're looking at you. And they know whether you've looked in the mirror or you haven't. Amen. Well, John 13, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Why? Hands, feet, get clean. I'm not talking about getting saved all over again. You get saved on day one, that only happens once. You don't get saved 14 dozen million times. Well, I got saved again. No, you didn't. You get saved one time. The Lord saves you one time, and it's a good enough dose, it'll last forever. If you saved yourself, then you didn't get saved, but you need to come to the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and you won't have to worry about it ever again. But now, if that's true, Psalm 119, verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Well, now, all right, got one more. If that's true, and it all is, then day number two ought to match up with this guy right here. Ain't it? You know, the Bible says this about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. Why did he have this testimony? That he pleased God. How do you please God? Because Enoch looked in the mirror before he left the house every morning. Now, the book of Genesis tells this about Enoch. The book of Genesis says this, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. We have astronauts. Enoch was or was not. Just forget it. Enoch walked with God. And he walked so close to God. You see this, here's the sermon right here. Day one has to do with relationship. Relationship you cannot change. You cannot change relationship. I've given this example 100 times and, you know, all that. You cannot get out of the family you're in. He said, oh yeah, I can. I can disown. You can if you'd like to. But let them draw blood somewhere and it's going to go back to the same place. You can't get out of day one. Once you get saved, you're saved. Once you're born into a family, you're born in that family. The blood goes back to the daddy. You get saved, the blood goes back to daddy. And you can't get undone. You can't unhatch a chicken. People say, well, I got lost last night. If you ever got saved, if you ever got hatched, you can't get unhatched. Day number two deals with fellowship. Day one, relationship, you cannot change. Day two is fellowship, you can change. You can be as close to God as you want to be. Listen, God's at the same place He's always been. God does not change, but we do. And you can be as close to God as you want to be, or you can be as far away from God as you want to be. Guess what? Because you're doing the moving. And Enoch walked with God every day. and he walked with God. I heard old Mays Jackson say this, Enoch walked with God. And at the end of the day, Enoch looked around, says, well, God, I think it's about time I need to go back home. God says, well, you're closer to my house than you are yours. And Enoch stepped over and was translated. And was not, for God took him, bypassed death, because he walked so close to God. Wouldn't you like to be that way? Say, preacher, you there? I ain't nowhere near it. But I sure would like to be. Sure would like to be. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to move from day one to day two? Wouldn't you like to just not just be saved, but accomplish something now that you are saved? Do something for God? Wouldn't that be good? God invites you to do that today. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that's been a help.